Matthew, and you're listening to Outside the Loop, Chicago's almost above ground audio magazine.
Thank you very much, Erica. Shubas, I hope all is well over there. I would like to get back to Shubas in the near future. Hopefully that could happen. Welcome to Outside the Loop. Yes, this is Chicago's almost above ground audio magazine. I am Mike Steven. This is show number 762 and what we do here on this program. If you're wondering, well, we take a look at local issues and topics that don't always get mainstream media attention. And of course, check us out online on Twitter at Outside the Loop, on Instagram at Outside the Loop Radio, on Facebook. Download the podcast of this show for free. You can subscribe for free through Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your on-demand audio. And check out the website, OutsideTheLoopRadio.com, for the audio archives, as well as WGNRadio.com. Bob Fergie Ferguson is our engineer in the studio today, and Colin Seaman is the producer of the program. Good morning, Colin.
Good morning, Michael. How are you today?
I'm doing well, and a little pep in the step here because... And we haven't mentioned this specifically on the show before this month, but this is kind of like our Music May, you know?
It is. There's been a theme throughout the month, listener. Have you picked up on it?
I have, Colin, but I guess I'm...
You put on the show.
Yeah, I'm the host of the show. Right. Well, you know, we usually, every other week, do the secret history of Chicago music. And hey, we're doing that again this week with Steve Krakow. But we're featuring this month of May. Look, as maybe on the horizon, we're going to get back to some semblance of normalcy in the hopefully not too distant future, where we could go back outside and go to venues and enjoy live music again. So we thought we'd celebrate that with, you know, featuring artists maybe more so than we usually do. Music May. What a great name, Colin. I think you came up with that name.
I think I like alliterations, Mike, and music. So it works.
It works
well in this month of May.
It totally works. Well, speaking of music, I mean, the big news this week, of course, Lollapalooza, the tickets went on sale this week. Did you get your tickets, Colin?
I did not. I'm looking at Riot Fest, though, but I didn't get tickets for Lolla.
Riot Fest, for those who don't know, how would you describe it? It's like, it's not as insane as Lolla, for sure. And it's more like bands that you...
By insane, you mean the number of people?
Yeah, and the number of people and teenagers running around.
Right. Yes, I guess it's a little smaller in size. The music, I think, at Riot Fest is a little bit more aggressive. I don't know. What's the word I'm looking for?
It's alternative, maybe?
Is that still a word? I thought that word died with 1998.
Yeah, I don't know what we call this stuff anymore. It was alternative. It was grunge, alternative. I think, you know, there are radio stations that still say alternative.
Right, and they play music from 1998. Whatever.
I'm telling you,
look, Everclear and... like Old Green Day and Garbage. That's alternative to me.
Yeah, but me too.
I may be stuck in a different time.
No, I get it. So yes, Riot Fest is maybe a bit more aggressive. We'll just say that.
Sure. So I'm going to go to that one. I got some stuff to work out.
Yeah, it's a little bit more manageable, I think, than Lollapalooza. I guess in my estimation, I have not been to Lollapalooza, like inside the walls of Lollapalooza. I've been outside and it just doesn't. And I've talked to Jenny about this and she's like, you're such an old man. It just does not appeal to me. And I love live music and I don't have a problem going to an arena show. I don't in normal times.
Right.
Lollapalooza, you know, in the blistering sun where people are very dehydrated and it's craziness.
Well, I think it would be a perfect, I mean, if you're, obviously you're there to chaperone, so you'll watch out for them, but considering you were telling me a couple nights ago that your kids were going, you know, sort of crazy at night, trying to put them down, I think Lolla could be a really creative and expressive venue for them to sort of get some of that stuff out. So, I mean, as long as you're sort of playing defense, left tackle, whatever, on your little... scatterbrain quarterbacks out there, they're good, right?
Yeah. Mikey's 6, JoJo's 3.5. What could go wrong? You know, just
let
get
him,
out all
let
your wigglies
dance.
There. Yeah, get your wigglies out.
I've never heard that term, but I love it. Wigglies, let's go, Mike. I love it. Let them get their wigglies out in Grant Park. With Miley Cyrus, I think.
Oh my God! No,
is that one of the?
I think so. I think so. All right, we have a lovely show for you today.
I came in like a wrecking ball, Mikey. Stop! Please go wiggle somewhere else.
That was a pretty good Mikey imitation. I like it.
I could see it. I could see it.
We are talking about music, secret history of Chicago music, learning about a soul singer, Jackie Ross, from here in Chicago. Also, we'll talk to local jazz musician Sean Maxwell about his new record, and we'll get an update on the Takeout 25 initiative, how takeout food is helping to save local restaurants, and we'll learn all about that. Stay tuned. This is Outside the Loop. Get those wigglies out. Back in December on this show, on Outside the Loop number 738, we heard from Ravi Parikat. At the time, he was a candidate for village trustee in the suburb of Oak Park, and he was the creator of a group, a Facebook group, called Takeout 25 Oak Park. The goal was to get 10,000 residents of Oak Park to spend $25 a week on takeout food in order to save local restaurants during the pandemic. Well, fast forward to today, Trustee Parikat is with us to give us an update on his initiative and to let us know how it has grown. Ravi, welcome back to Outside the Loop.
Thanks, Mike, and thanks for having me back.
You're quite welcome. And we should mention takeout25oakpark.com is the website that everyone can check out. And I must say, congratulations, now that you have been elected and sworn in as a village trustee of Oak Park. That's awesome.
Thank you very much.
You are quite welcome. And the Facebook group here, so the Takeout 25 Oak Park initiative has grown so much since the last time that we've talked. The Facebook group is now over 8,000 members strong, which is unbelievable. And just remind us here, you created this whole thing using some basic math calculations, right?
That is right. So the calculation was, it was focused on Oak Park. So if 10,000 residents spend $25 a week on takeout food, that will translate to $1 million in takeout business, which will help the Oak Park restaurants, about 100 of them, survive the pandemic. But since then, we've added to that.
And really, the Facebook group is, I think, what is so much fun to be a part of, and I am a part of it. It's really wonderful. The website's great too, takeout25oakpark.com. But if you search Takeout 25 Oak Park on Facebook, now this group has over 8,000 members. And like we talked about back in December, it's inspirational when people are posting, hey, I got this Thai takeout, you should check this out. And it inspires other people, like myself and my family, like, oh, you know what? That looks pretty good. Maybe we should do that. It's the ultimate word of mouth.
It really is. That is the power of social media. And when used the right way, it can really be a positive impact for community building and also to support locally.
I asked you in December, what has the effect been? And you were still, new-ish, I guess, at the time. You'd been around for a little while with Takeout 25, but have you been able to quantify the impact that Takeout 25 Oak Park has had on these businesses so far and in the community?
Yeah, I've done a lot of math in the back end to figure out what that impact is. And we've done about $3 to $4 million of takeout business through the platform over the last five. This is since its inception, is the approximation. And what has also happened is that we've extended into a couple of events called Taste the Town. So each of those events have raised about $40,000. just one night events, and they've been very successful as well. On top of that, all the restaurants, they're currently trying to hire back. You know, there's been significant uptick in terms of business activity, and they're finding it difficult to find people at this point. It's the opposite problem. So I think it's really gone a long way in both, putting money in the hands of the local restaurants, as well as giving them new customers that they did not have prior to the pandemic, which allows them to thrive beyond the pandemic.
Yeah, I mean, again, if you join up with the Facebook group, Takeout 25 Oak Park, you will see that there are so many great places in Oak Park. But then let's talk about outside of Oak Park, because I know that you have been featuring some places like in Berwyn, even, Elmwood Park and neighboring areas. And I know that officially you have now partnered with the Austin neighborhood in Chicago, which is exciting.
Yeah, that happened. I've always meant to do that, but over the last few weeks, I got to meet a few people on the Austin side, and got the conversations led to a formal partnership. So one of them, being the AAA V&A, which is a nonprofit that supports businesses there, and the executive director Malcolm Crawford is somebody I spoke with. And then I also spoke with, Crystal Gardner, who runs a Facebook group on the Austin side called Activate Austin. So both members mm-hmm. of the local community. So I felt that, in them, I have partners who understand the community, and we can reach Takeout 25 into Austin as a way to, support the local businesses there, also to bring the community into the Takeout 25 family, and bring the two communities closer together as well.
And I think it's wonderful when we are discovering things about our communities, our neighborhoods that maybe we didn't know about before. And, you live in these areas, wherever you live, think about your community and, it's the little pizza place. Maybe I've driven by it 10 times or 20 times or forever. And I just never really thought about it. Or, there's a little shack over there that does some food, or this restaurant that I've never tried before, but whatever, maybe I'll get around to it. This really inspires folks to take that step and say, I am going to kind of just discover a little bit about my community, and I get to, have some delicious food in the process.
Yeah. And what's also interesting is one rule on Takeout 25 is the restaurants can join not as businesses, but as business owners. So the owners can join as individuals, or the restaurant managers can join, or staff can join as people, right? So the community really gets to meet these people as individuals, as their neighbors, as community members, not as a business entity. And that makes for interesting conversations, and that brings the community closer to these business entities and the individuals behind those businesses.
I agree. I think it's wonderful that this is really bringing people together, and hey, you're doing it through food. So that's great. and in the process, helping local businesses. Do you have any plans to expand? We're talking about Austin here, but I mentioned some other areas around Oak Park. Any ideas or any plans to expand into some other neighborhoods officially through Takeout 25?
So the intent would be to look at a 5 mile radius around Oak Park. I think that's a manageable footprint for an entity like Takeout 25, in my estimation. So I will definitely, and I'm already in conversations with Berwyn, the BCD, or the BDC, the Berwyn Development Corporation. So that announcement should come out later this week in terms of us formalizing that. And then I would definitely like to explore possibilities with Elmwood Park and potentially other other neighborhoods within that geographical space, right? So about a 5 mile radius around Oak Park. From an expansion perspective, that is the intent.
Well, this is very exciting. It's such a great idea. And it's bringing people together. It's saving local establishments. It's advertising great food for all of us. Everyone should check out takeout25oakpark.com. That's takeout25oakpark.com. And hey, join up with that Facebook group. Look for Takeout 25 Oak Park on Facebook. Ravi Parakat is a trustee of the Village of Oak Park and the creator of Takeout 25. Ravi, congrats on all of your success, and thanks for talking to us today.
Thank you so much, Mike. It's always a pleasure talking to you.
With our theme of Music May this month, we welcome Sean Maxwell to the show. He is an acclaimed local composer and jazz musician. He's playing the saxophone and he sounds great. His new album is called Expectation and Experience, and it was released yesterday, and this was recorded during the pandemic. Check out SeanMaxwell.com. That's S-H-A-W-N, SeanMaxwell.com. Sean, welcome to Outside the Loop, man.
Hey, thanks for having me, man. And right off the bat, I appreciate you going to the extra step of actually spelling out Sean. So that's awesome. We're already on the right first step.
I like it. And as someone, you know, my last name is Steven, and everyone wants to put the V in there, and it's P-H, so I got to spell it. So I understand where you're coming from. We're brothers in that struggle.
Definitely. Yeah, man.
You are, as I understand here, the pride and joy of Joliet, Illinois. Is that right?
Oh, yeah, I'm a Joliet guy. And normally people that don't know what that is, I have to always explain. Well, if you've seen the Blues Brothers movie, the first 5 minutes is, you know, right down the street from my high school.
That's right. And another connection, my dad's side of the family, the Steven family, from Joliet. So there you are.
Oh, nice. Hey, you're one of us.
That's right. So, all right, let's talk about your music. This is, I think, really a crazy time that we're living through here. And I've asked this of other artists I've had on the show, but how have you survived? How are you surviving this pandemic? Because you, especially as a jazz musician, really when you're thinking about just the feel of the crowd and the response from the audience, we haven't had that in a year. How have you been surviving this time?
Well, like every other musician, one day at a time. And, you know, it's adjusting. It's obviously not how things, quote unquote, normally were. I've really put a lot of my stuff and just emotions into composing more. And yes, we don't have live crowds right now. And well, let me rephrase that. We are starting to get live crowds back, and, you know, we're almost there, but I've been really focusing more on composition, which is how we came up with this album and the whole, like, basis of what it was.
And we'll talk about the album more in just a second. And, you know, staying on this idea of playing jazz and an audience, it's incredible to go to a show because really there is that give and take between performer and audience. And I think, you know, especially with jazz, which really, yes, the composition is definitely one part of it, but as you know, the improvisation is also a whole nother aspect of jazz. And to be in the audience when you see if it's someone ripping a sax solo or doing a drum solo or just the band is really dialed in, you know, the audience, I think, has a part in that. And I miss that as someone who would go to see a show. And I got to think that that's on your mind when you are thinking about getting back out there pretty soon.
Oh, definitely. I mean, the audience is a big, big part of it because when things are normal, we're playing shows pretty much every day. When we're touring, we'll have a dedicated set list usually of my originals. And, you know, on a 3 or 4 week run, we could play that same tune seriously like 20 some times, you know, 20 different days. And it'll be completely different every 20 days. Exact same tune, but it's feeding off the crowd, you know, and how is the crowd really into it, or, you know, or where are we at? I mean, it is something that is very, very much missed. And like I said, we've just recently started doing some shows and ramping up here more as the summer goes along. It is after doing the first show with live people in a long time, it felt awesome. It was one of those things where afterwards we were all just kind of standing off the stage, just kind of looking at each other like, yeah, that's cool. Let's do that again.
And you realize how much you miss it. I mean, it's...
You knew we missed it over this last year or so the whole time, but after that long layoff, it was like just it kind of smacks you in the face of how much you really missed it.
Yeah. SeanMaxwell.com is the website. That's S-H-A-W-N, SeanMaxwell.com. And Sean, your new album is called Expectation and Experience. This was recorded during the pandemic, and this is incredible, done remotely. And you have like almost 30 musicians on this record, and basically everyone is pretty much in their home recording their parts to these songs.
I was writing tunes while we went through the craziness of 2020. And when I compose tunes, I compose to people, places, things around me. And like a lot of us, I was watching a lot of the news. and it gave me a ton of inspiration. So that's when I was like, you know what? I need to work on something new. I can't sit here and twiddle my thumbs anymore. And I started talking with Nick Eipers, my partner in this, engineer, producer. And we just kind of started talking, and he said, do you have tunes? Do you have things? I was like, yeah, I've been writing all year. And as we started looking at it, I think I jokingly said, yeah, you know, I should write a album, a suite to 2020. And he's like, that's not a bad idea. So we kind of took that, and then we started formulating how we were going to do it, because we did not want to get people into a recording studio at that time. We wanted to, you know, embrace the what we had been battling with on 2020 that whole time of, you know, social distancing and working from home. So that's when we came up with the idea of, you know, doing remote recording and kind of going through that. And that's how we landed here. And yeah.
Songs are so good. By the way, the theme of 2020, here are some of the song titles: Alternative Facts, No Peace Without Justice, Feeling Remote, and Lockdown. Those are names of actual songs on this record. And by the way, I put on Alternative Facts and I heard the harmonica and I'm like, Howard Levy, gotta be Howard Levy. You got Howard Levy on this, one of the best harp players in the world.
Yeah, no, he's amazing, and I love Howard. Not only is he a killing musician, he might somehow be a better man than he is a musician, and he is amazing. So, yeah, I was very happy and honored that Howard was on board with this, and I think he sounds amazing.
And the whole record sounds really great, and the fact that a lot of these parts were just recorded separately, I mean, it's really a great overall piece of work. And we want to remind everyone that you're performing live. How good does it feel to say that? You're performing live on Friday and Saturday of next week. So that's Friday, May 28th and Saturday, May 29th from 6 to 9:30 p.m. at Andy's Jazz Club on Hubbard Street in downtown Chicago. One of the best venues you could go to locally. That's going to be a great show.
We're really looking forward to it. We are not going to have all 30 people on those two gigs. We're going to have to wait till COVID calms down a bit.
Right.
We'll figure that out. But we're going to have smaller groups on those couple of nights, rotating a bunch of different people in from the CDs. And yes, we are very much looking forward to it. So if people are interested, I'd suggest try to make reservations, because I think it's going to fill up pretty quickly.
There we go. So that's Andy's Jazz Club on Hubbard, Friday and Saturday, May 28th and May 29th, 6 to 9:30 p.m. Everyone should check out SeanMaxwell.com, S-H-A-W-N, SeanMaxwell.com, because Sean Maxwell sounded so good on that saxophone. He's a great composer as well. Sean, thank you so much for talking to us today, and best of luck getting back out there and getting on tour.
Thanks for everything, man. I appreciate it.
In the Chicago Reader, you will see the column The Secret History of Chicago Music. It is hand-drawn by local musician, music historian, and artist Plastic Crime Wave. He's also known as Steve Krakow. The strip profiles a local musician or a band who never quite made it to the big time. So right now, let's dim those lights. Let's fire up the old hi-fi as we travel to Chicago's Ukrainian Village neighborhood and enter the self-quarantine version of
The Secret History of Chicago Music.
Here we go, connecting across town to the lair of an apartment, and we check in with our good friend Steve Krakow, also known as Plastic Crime Wave, for the Secret History of Chicago Music. And this week, Steve, we are hearing some soul tunes from Jackie Ross. Jackie Ross, who maybe some of us know as a one-hit wonder, but I love the sound of Jackie Ross's voice.
Yeah, I feel like even her kind of one-hit wonder status faded unless you are sort of like a collector of smooth soul stuff these days. You probably wouldn't have heard of her, which is sad.
She's a one-hit wonder, but that's sometimes a curse because artists get known for one song and they have this vast body of work that people probably never will hear because they just keep associating with that artist with the hit. That's kind of the case what happened here with Jackie Ross.
Yeah, and it kind of, you know, if you have it early in your career too, it becomes this high bar that you can't really reach again, and everyone's sort of looking for you to kind of keep turning out the hits as well, you know. And then even if you have a couple more, sometimes they throw you on a kind of one hit wonder sort of status compilation too, with a bunch of other sort of, you know, novelty junk that was a true, to me, a real one hit wonder is, yeah, you know, something that's kind of like a goofy one off or something, you know. But yeah, she had a very consistent career, and you hear her other stuff and you're like, wow, why was this one a hit and all these other ones weren't? You know, it's more like that.
We should mention that the hit from Jackie Ross is a song called Selfish One, and maybe you've heard of that before, but as you said, it kind of, maybe even that gets sort of faded into the background. Selfish One. Taking it back here, Jackie Ross, born in January of 1946 in Missouri, and she's singing gospel at a very early age. And then by 1954, around there, she gets up to Chicago.
Yeah, she was singing, like, supposedly at age 3 on her folks had, like, a radio show, a gospel radio show, so, like, that's crazy. So she moved to Chicago in the 50s, and I guess her mom was friends with Sam Cooke, so it hooked her up pretty much right away with him. And he had a label, SAR, and he put out her first single.
That gets us into the 1960s here, and she's still performing. She's here in Chicago. Tell us what's going on here in Chicago in the 1960s when it comes to Jackie Ross.
Well, in a very old school fashion, she won a singing contest, which is great. And that kind of got her this gig singing with Syl Johnson, you know, noted R&B soul artist. I covered him for the strip long, long, long ago and had the pleasure of meeting him one time. So that kind of gets her a gig playing with him, and then she gets discovered by a guy who has connections to Chess Records.
Wow. So, I mean, Chess Records, of course, legendary. And this is like in the mid-1960s that we're talking about here. What happens over at Chess with Jackie Ross?
They kind of had the song Selfish One kind of waiting there for her. They figured she would be a perfect person to sing it, and the song kind of bears a few superficial resemblances to My Guy, you know, another big hit. And that had just been a big smash, and there wasn't really, I guess, like anything like it on the radio at the time. So they thought the iron was hot for that kind of sentiment and sort of rhythm in a song with those sort of sweet vocals. So, and they were right. It hit, you know, it totally shot up the charts. It was like number 11 in the Billboard charts, 4 on the R&B charts, and even number 5 on the Canadian charts.
Well, how about that? The Canadians love some good smooth soul.
Yes. Oh, and the guy who wrote it, co-wrote it, Carl Smith, he had some credentials as well. He co-wrote Rescue Me and Your Love Keeps Lifting Me Higher and Higher by Jackie Wilson. So
yeah.
He was, you know, she had the benefit of a good tunesmith there.
Yeah, sure. It sounds that way. Those are great songs. So, all right, the single, the smash single, the hit single, Selfish One, comes out, and she's leaving Chess, though, Jackie Ross, in 1967, and she never, it seems like, achieves that sort of acclaim again. What happens after she's leaving Chess in 1967?
Yeah, she did a bunch of singles for them, and she even did a full album, which is now kind of rare, Full Bloom, mostly collecting the singles, but and they did a tour. There was like a package tour. It seemed like all the ingredients were sort of in place, but I guess she kind of felt like they weren't giving her full royalties. There was a dispute over that. And they gave her a song that someone else was already doing, Evie Sands. And Evie Sands was pissed that she was doing this song.
Oh,
I guess
no.
Like Evie Sands' I didn't get to put the whole story in there, but like Evie Sands' manager like chewed her out. And she's like, I didn't know, you know? So it was like just kind of weird stuff like that. So yeah, then she started kind of jumping to all these small. Well, she went over to Brunswick, which was a big label. Carl Davis, one of the biggest guys in Chicago soul, ran it. And she did a song co-written by a dude from the Chi-Lites. Then she went to Jerry Butler's label. So, you know, she's kind of rubbing elbows with all these sort of top people. But just nothing really sticking, you know. And then even in the late 70s, she jumped on this other label, Golden Ear, and put out a bunch of stuff, an album that I have a feeling didn't sell at all then, now goes for about $500 because it's so rare and sought after. But then a sort of turning point happens in the late 70s of sorts.
Yeah, and tell us about that. So by the way, that's crazy that now goes for about $500 and it wasn't doing much then.
So, okay, this whole sort of fanatical scene in Britain started in the late 70s of these devotees, and they called it Northern Soul, which in my young mind always was like, oh, it's from like the north of the United States or something. Like, it's a region of soul, because you hear about like their soul on the East Coast, the Philly soul sound or something like that. So I thought it was kind of like that, but it's not. It actually refers to Northern England, where this whole scene started, and they just sort of started digging through American soul and finding more obscure stuff that all kind of has this sort of, it's a particular tempo, it's a particular sort of like strings and orchestration, you know. In my mind, I used to think of it as more of a sort of a low-rent Motown kind of sound. But as the years go on, I hear more what they're looking. And I had a roommate that was like deep, deep into it. And when sometimes some of these 45s are worth like $1,000 in this scene because they're so rare and they're so coveted. But anyways, she was very much adopted into this scene. And a lot of the top DJs in this scene started playing her stuff. And then it was like she basically had a whole second career.
And in the 2010s, she performed over at the Old Town School of Folk Music. Is that right?
Yeah. I didn't realize she's been somewhat active in you know, the last decade or so. She played, it was like Syl Johnson's box set came out, and so she was part of that world, which I believe was nominated for a Grammy, that box set that Numero Group did. Didn't win. But she played that, and a good friend of mine, Aaron Cohen, who wrote a book on Chicago soul last year, he's in touch with her, and he said she's a nutritionist these days.
Okay.
And, you know, I believe at his book signing, she brought a bunch of vegetables, and him and her were the only ones eating them, or so he had a little story there. And supposedly she is singing in some churches sometimes as well, singing gospel.
All right. Well, that's a good thing. Jackie Ross, hopefully we can go see her live soon. Jackie Ross is who is being profiled in The Secret History of Chicago Music. You can check out chicagoreader.com or pick up a hard copy of The Reader all over Chicagoland. Steve Krakow is the author of this strip, and he hand draws the musician or band he is profiling. Steve, I like it. Smooth Soul from Jackie Ross. Brother, you stay smooth.
Stay smooth and in the groove.
Darkness left and a new life is born into a world twisted and torn. So innocent, he don't know what kind of world is he.
Yes, the rap party for Outside the Loop, show number 762, the segment where Colin and I do a little recap of the show, offer some takeaways. Speaking of takeaway, I was thinking of this earlier. Take out 25 Oak Park. If you were in Europe, it would be take away 25 because they call takeout food, they call it takeaway, don't they?
Yes, and it would be incredibly socialistic.
You may be.
I'm just kidding.
I mean, just it kidding. Is in the sense that you're helping. I mean, here we go. Let's dig deep.
So much socialism, Mike. Let's get rid of it.
No. I'm not saying anything about that. I'm just saying it's capitalism, but it's a socialist sort of mentality of the greater good, right?
Right, right. You just brought up Europe, and it triggers me. I'm sorry. It's a good thing that we got going here in America. I love America. Sorry, I'm teasing. It's great. It's also really great. My favorite part of the reconnection there is that it's expanding, right? Expanding
down
to Austin and connecting those two communities. That's fantastic.
It is really a great initiative. And, you know, it's so simple. When Ravi was on the show back in December, I said, and I didn't, you know, no offense to him, like, this is a pretty simple idea. And he's like, yeah, I know. I just did some basic math and I put together a website and a Facebook group and here we are. And boy, people love it. I mean, check out Takeout 25 Oak Park, which is, again, now grown into Chicago and surrounding areas. It's pretty cool to see how people, especially over the last year, just really got excited about posting pictures of the food. You know, I got this takeout, I got this restaurant. And then now on the Facebook page, people will say, hey, I'm feeling like breakfast. Where do you think I should go for breakfast? And there's a bunch of recommendations. You could search the threads. It's just a super cool idea. So my hat's off to Ravi. I think it's great.
Agreed.
Now they just have to make sure everyone who's on Takeout 25 Oak Park, when you support those businesses, that you throw away your trash and recycle when you can.
That's right. And
look at that,
you stay
Colin,
on
look
top
at that.
Of.
I brought up the environment stuff.
You did. You just stay on top of those businesses and you say, I love you. You make such good stuff, but let's get rid of the styrofoam. Okay, I will support you to buy packaging that is green, friendly, closes the loop, doesn't use unnecessary single use plastic. And we have a brighter future, Mike. A brighter future where we're all just jazzing. We're jazzing together to make a better future, bring food to our homes, support our community businesses. We're just jazzing.
Well, Colin, what a segue that is. This is professional. Sean Maxwell. Everyone should go get that record. Listen to that record. If you like jazz, even if you aren't like totally into jazz, there are definitely songs that are jazz, but there are elements of other types of music as well. And the musicians on this record are insane. So go listen to this.
I have a follow-up question that I was not able to ask live. What is the face or the expression that you make when you recognize some like harmonica player that you know on a record, or when you just hear like harmonica on a record, what is the expression, the mic expression? Because you just like jumped in, you're like, you got this guy, he plays hard. Oh my god, it's so amazing.
Howard so, like, Levy, I just though. is like
right. I want to know what I want to know what your I want to know what like do your eyes do they get big? What happens to Mike in that moment?
I think there was
like,
a
just
head
like
nod.
This a head just a head nod.
There was like a solid like yeah, that's Howard Levy, like awesome.
It sounded based on your enthusiasm of the question. It sounded like you know you just get sort of flooded. Maybe your endocrine system gets flooded with like endorphins and adrenaline or something. I don't know.
So I guess you have to know here. I'll tell you a story. Here's a little story. Rap party story here. Howard Levy, if you don't know, he might be the best harmonica player on planet Earth. So, and he lives in Evanston. He's local, right? And he's like the most unassuming, nicest dude. And I got to meet him. This was like in the 2000s. I actually took a couple harmonica lessons from him. And I went to his house in Evanston and I went in there and had my harmonicas with me. And I walk in and there he is sitting at a grand piano, just ripping through some beautiful classical piece, just playing for fun. And I looked over at his piano. He's playing. I just walked right in his house. He's playing. I looked over on the wall. He literally has gold records on the wall because he was playing with Bella Fleck and the Flecktones. He's played with so many people. So here he is just, you know, going crazy on the piano, playing this very complicated piece in the shadow of his gold records. And then when you hear him play the harmonica, it's just so effortless and beautiful and technical and emotive. And he's got a very unique sound, I think, for his harmonica. So when I heard that, that all came back and I'm like, oh my God, this is a great get. I mean, what a great addition to this album. So that is the backstory, Colin, that I didn't have enough time to talk about in the interview with Sean. And now, you know,
were those lessons expensive?
They were not cheap, sir. I love Howard Levy. He's great. He's amazing.
I was only teasing.
All right, look, you got to make sure you get your Lollapalooza tickets and your Riot Fest tickets. And what else is coming up? There's got to be a Street Fest coming up soon.
We'll talk about it on next week's show because we still got a couple more shows in May.
I think we have one
that we've got to play. Well, we got to talk about it next week.
We'll talk about it next week.
We can't talk about music any other month except May because it's Music May.
And except for the Secret History of Chicago Music, which happens every other week on this show.
Well, that's secret. That's not... It's secret.
All right, we're I think that's it. I think that's the show. I think we're done. We've put everything on the table.
You're still listening? Of course you are, Mike's mother. How you doing? Did you have a good Mother's Day?
I
hope you did.
She did. Hi, Mom, and hopefully the throngs of people listening to the show. Colin, have a great week, and the listener of this show, you have an amazing week, and we will be back next week. And that is the Rap Party for Outside the Loop, show number 762.
Rap Party.
And that just about does it. Outside the Loop, show number 762 is all wrapped up just for you. Thank you so much for listening to the show this week. I really appreciate it. Thanks to Colin for producing. Thanks to Bob Ferguson for being our engineer. I hope you have a great week. I'll talk to you again next time right here on Outside the Loop on 720 WGN.